Hi, this is John St. John.
This is Dave Fenoy.
This is Ashley Birch.
Hey, it's Frank Grillo.
And you're listening to my favorite.
And you're listening?
Listen to this podcast.
Listen to the Game Fix Podcast.
To the Game Fix Podcast.
Welcome to Game Fix Podcast.
Game Fix Show.
Hello, my friend. Stay a while and listen.
Oh my God, dude, yeah.
What?
That does not taste good at all.
Spider-Man takes leaks. Hulk takes fucking shits.
All right, partner. You know what time it is.
Let's go, Payday! Payday!
Welcome to another episode, I guess you could call them episodes, of Game Fix. I am Verlaine.
I'm Mike.
I'm Jack.
Yeah. As you notice, Abe is not here. He's going to be on vacation, but we got this. Make sure to check out our website, gamefixshow.com. You'll see all the little icons to visit our socials. You could follow us, subscribe, report, block, whatever you got to do, do it. Just tag Game Fix Show on the end of it. Or... you can check out our live recording of our weekly recorded podcast right here. If you're not, facebook.com/gamefixshow or twitch.tv/gamefix. I have something in my throat and it sucks, so I'm sorry. We're going to just start this off right now the way that we always started off and in what we have been playing. Mike, how about you take it away? Because I know me and Jack have played essentially the same things.
Yeah, this week I, because you played it last week. I tried Trek to Yomi.
Nice.
I downloaded it off of Game Pass. Fell in love with this game immediately. Like, I was always a big fan of, like, The Magnificent Seven, the story of the Shinsengumi, one of my favorite movies of all time. And this game's presentation, it feels like that. And I love the black and white cinematics. I love the kind of like grain film filter that's over it. The combat, it's pretty satisfying. I turned the difficulty up a little bit because it's a little too easy at first, and then I started getting my ass kicked.
Yeah.
But I love how it. I love how as you progress, because like you know, it's like a semi-open world to it. It's like pretty linear. But you can kind of venture around a little bit, and you can go into other rooms, and you can find other trinkets and treasures. So, I grew up playing a lot of like role-playing games, and the emphasis of those games is exploring. But then I got older, and I kind of got sick of a lot of them.
Right. It does kind of play like that, because you'll do the exploring, and the battles are separate. Like you don't do both.
It's a blend that actually connects, because the second it comes time to fighting, like you said last week, it feels a little bit like a fighting game. I also love the nuanced take of having to press like the A button to turn around.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty unique. Only a few games I've ever played have tried that. Like, if you remember, like Mortal Kombat Mythology Sub-Zero,
yes,
they tried to blend the typical Mortal Kombat fighting style with the 2D platformer, and these two dynamics are fighting with each other. They don't work at all, and that game sucks balls.
Yeah.
And in this one, it feels a little more natural. And like the combat's very rewarding. So yeah, I probably played that one for like maybe a good 3 straight hours when I turned it on. It was a lot of fun. And the other game that I was playing, because I didn't get a chance to do a lot of gaming, but one of the other games I went back to, I hooked my Wii back up because I wanted to finish Trauma Center, Second Opinion. This is a game where you're playing as a surgeon.
I remember that game. I remember that. I never played it, but I remember seeing it.
Yeah, and it's a really cool song. It's a really cool concept for the Nintendo DS, where you have a stylus to pinpoint your movements. When you're trying to do this by waggling the damn Wii remote around, it's frustrating as all hell. And this is like one of the hardest games I've ever played in my life. You're essentially cutting people open, and you're performing as a surgeon, and you're battling diseases. And the diseases require a little bit of timing to remove, suture, and then sew people back up. And it's a pretty exhilarating experience until it gets too hard for its own good. And I've probably been stuck on one. I've been stuck on one operation for probably about 8 years now. I can't get past it, and now I'm older and my reflexes have gone completely to shit. So it's a really hard. So if anyone's listening and if they're familiar with the treaty virus, it's these triangles that spawn because they're attached by like little. They're attached by essentially hooks. They have hooks attached to them, and you have to pull them out before they begin spawning. But if you don't pull them out, the virus mutates, and then there's like five or six more. It's one of the most frustrating ordeals that I've ever incurred, but the game is pretty fun. And when the Wii actually lands a concept that works with the motion controls, it can be pretty fun, but more often than not, you're just waggling the damn remote around.
Yeah.
So when the zombie apocalypse comes and we need, you know, medical help, possibly surgery, can we count on you to successfully take care of us?
I got you. I can do a pretty good job of cutting it open.
Right on. We're safe.
Nice. All right. Well, me and Jack have pretty much played the same things. First of all, Demio. Is that how you say it? Demio? Demio?
I think it's Demio, yeah.
Demio. VR, tabletop board game. It's sweet. The higher up, but like the more we play. We played with four people once. It's sweet. I don't know. I'm going to keep playing it.
It changes the whole aspect having four people. So, I mean, it's not as hard. It's definitely not as hard.
Yeah, the games, it's fun. Like, it's one of those games where I'm actually like, you know, I don't go for role-playing. I don't go for turn-based, but this game, I don't know. I'm down with it. There's something I like about it.
One thing when I said something about, because I remember there was a turn-based game that we were going to try, and when we found out it was turn-based, you were like, nope.
Yeah.
And then with this, I was like, I wonder if he's going to like it or not.
Yeah, it's cool. I like it. but the big one we've been playing was the Evil Dead game.
Yes.
The Evil Dead game is made by Deep Silver. Yeah, I think they did it. No, because they did whatchamacallit, Dead by Daylight, right? No, they did Dead Island, right? Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So, well, anyways, they also, the team behind this also did Friday the 13th, and they also did Predator. And it's basically just like Dead by Daylight. It's it's four versus one scenario. Now, Dead by Daylight has its following, and they did a good job updating it, but it's still very flawed. It's got a very, very huge learning curve, especially if you were to jump into it now. I got very frustrated with the game. I mean, it has great features about it. The fact that every DLC boss that they would release was pretty much its own game. Had a different style of gameplay. It was really creative. I just couldn't stand it. There was too much cheating, and nobody just it never stopped. As far as I even jumped in years later. Anyways, what this game does that the other ones don't is that there's AI for one that are attacking you. So in games like Friday the 13th and Predator, well, Predator has the soldiers, but they're always somewhere. They're always at a fucking base. So you start out in the jungle. Once you get to anything that's human built, they're soldiers. You kill them, and the Predator's there. This game has, you know, first of all, it's dark as shit. And it has AI characters that are there just to begin with. So if you stumble across one of them, you're going to, here, I'm going to add this video. You're going to, you know, have a fight. The fighting is good. There's like finishing moves. It plays, the fighting is a little Dark Souls-y, like using the bumpers.
It gets a little tough sometimes if you need to attack from behind you. It gets a little disorienting sometimes.
Yeah,
but I think that adds to it because it makes it a little bit harder.
Yes, I was thinking about that too, but it's just like Resident Evil. Like part of Resident Evil was the suspense of, oh my God, I got to turn around like this. And that's good. And another thing is the fact that there's more as a bad guy you can do. Like if you're watching the video now and you're familiar with Evil Dead, you see this happen in the woods. It's just the evil force that's running around. And that's what you are. You're running through, going through the forest. You're just an invisible force, but you can put down portals and you could set traps and possess trees. You could possess cars. And I'll let Jack, you can explain the fear bar.
So when you're playing the bad guy, you're the demon, and each character has a fear bar that the stronger the demon starts getting, the more deadites you start calling in, your fear meter raises. When it gets too high, then all of a sudden, you can start getting jump scares, which jump scares, I don't care who you are, no matter what, because you're just sitting there in the heat of battle playing this game, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, it's just like this right in your screen. It's just like a 2D cell pops up of a monster, and it screams bloody murder at you. I think every time I was playing with Verlaine and it happened, and it doesn't happen very often.
It happened to me a lot when I was like there, because there was a point where I was just scared the whole time and I couldn't get out of it.
I don't know maybe it's my character. He's not as prone to fear. Like the fear bar will go up, but it doesn't affect him as much. But yeah, so many, the couple times I had the jump scare pop up, I was just like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is unlike, it's awesome.
Unlike other jump scare games. There's something different about just a picture being thrust in front of your face than actually seeing like the animation of something coming into the screen. Cause eventually you're going to get used to seeing that animation. Even the first few frames of it, you're going to be like, okay. But when it's a two-dimensional picture that can also be triggered by somebody else. So there's nothing, like you have no idea at all when it's going to happen at all. And there's more than one picture too. So like, it doesn't even matter what the picture is, but the fact is it's not even the same picture. The bosses are different. The fear meter also, besides like once you have deadites or any of the demons, you can either spawn them or you just find them as the bad guy. You can possess them. And if you possess them, you can, you know, depending on who you are, you might make them stronger because you are them. But then, dude, I possessed one normal deadite and I really screwed some dudes up because I knew how to do the dodging from being a player, like how to fight. So that's a cool aspect. But then, yeah, as the players start getting fear, they're easily pretty much possessed. So there was a time where me and Jack were playing. All of a sudden, the bad guy possesses me. And I'm like, Jack, run, because I'm possessed. So then he has a choice. Either fight and kill me, because it will hurt me. It's not like a different being. It's like hurting me, and I'm hurting him. So you either run and hope I don't. Too. Yeah, or he has to kill me. And that's the point. You know, so you're turning everybody against each other. They could be in cars and you could possess a car, which will launch them out. And then as the car, you can run them over. I had guys run into a car. I didn't have enough meter. I didn't catch up to them fast enough when they got in the car. So I just possessed another car and just trailed them as a car, as the bad guy.
There's the one time where we were running from the demon and we were like, there's a car, go get it. And just as we open the doors, all of a sudden it gets possessed and pulls back. We're like, no, so we had to start hauling ass again.
Yeah, this game,
like, as the player, can you like tell when like an item is or like a car is possessed? Or
it turns kind of red.
Yeah, if it's possessed, it'll turn red. If you're driving it and they possess it, you'll just get launched out of the car.
Yeah,
there's times where we're going through the forest and some of the trees can be possessed, so you'll just be by them and then they'll swat at you. It's really cool. It's still a game that needs and performs best with the team playing aspect, but they've added enough and they've just balanced the game enough where you can still afford to lose a player or two because they just don't know how to play or because they don't care and still be able to achieve stuff. Yeah. You know, I mean, you can still fight good enough, but like, you know, it's going to be a little bit harder. So it's not like Friday the 13th where, you know, all your guys leave the match. So you're the only one and Jason's the only one, or maybe Jason glitches onto a roof or one of the players glitch to a roof and then the game's ruined. If you leave early, you get no credit. And then, that's another thing. in this game, not only can you be revived when you're downed, but when you're dead, your soul, they can capture your soul and bring it to an altar and revive you as many times as they can do it.
I actually helped someone about that today because I was talking to them at work and they're like, yeah, my friend, he kept finding these altars. He had no idea what it was for. And I was like, so what happens is if you die, they can get your soul and bring you to the altar and res you. And he was like, really? I was like, yep. The only thing is, if you don't know where the altar is, because there's nothing highlighted to tell you, let you know what anything is, except for when you're searching around for trying to find weapons or ammo or anything, you turn on your flashlight and it'll glisten a little bit. So you'll know that there's something there. Other than that, there's you have no idea.
The flashlight will find hidden things too. Like if you look up on a shelf, something that wasn't there will end up physically being there.
Yeah, you'll hear the audible chime. That there's something there. Other than that, the only other hard part is when you're playing as the survivors or whatever, is you have to find, what, 5 pieces of a map?
Yeah.
Before the next phase of the game. So the map is, it's a huge map. There's small areas that have like buildings and stuff. We're still not exactly sure where the map pieces are or how to go about finding them. We're just roaming around the woods and all of a sudden getting mobbed.
Yeah, that brings me to the worst feature in this game, and usually it's so irrelevant in games, but the tutorial in this game, I have a huge problem with it, and Jack knows why, because like it pretty much they tell you the basics of the game, but they leave some parts out.
What you do, yeah.
They leave a lot of parts out, and you know, they'll tell you, okay, you know, build your demon meter, and then you can start doing different demon things. But they don't tell you that you also, in the middle of the game, because like as a player, you collect things and there's specific things to level up. I don't know what you collect as the bad guy, but you get these things anyways to level up. They never say that you have to unlock the ability to possess a person. You know what I'm saying? Because in the tutorial, it just gives you everything, it like makes you fully unlocked everything. So it treats it like, so I'm sitting there the whole time like, dude, I cannot make any of these deadites. Why am I playing this game? I can't get them out. You know, but then it turns out that I had to spend 2 points opening those things, you know? Oh, wow. So like, you figure it out just like every game, and just like finding the map pieces and just like finding when you're the bad guy trying to find survivors, there's nothing. You have to wait for them to make noise.
Yep.
You have to maybe be familiar with the map and be like, well, a lot of people spawn here and go here. But I mean, and that adds to it too, because it's so dark. You can get, you can't see anyone. You cannot see the players.
No,
unless they're literally like 3 feet in front of you. Otherwise, you lose them all the time.
You can barely see a little highlight of them. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but it's cool. It's like those factors, like not only are they showing a fear bar for your character, but they're genuinely trying to scare you. Because there's times where I'm like, oh shit, you hear the bad guy around you, but they don't do anything. And if they do, dude, a deadite can just pop up behind you. Like, it's so fucking crazy.
Yeah. Oh, that's best. I think I like the sound of this. It makes me think of like a little more of a polished Evolve.
Yes, it is. Yes. Just like those.
Yeah, and I feel like there's something I can jive with. Like these games are getting better the more that they make of them. Yeah, like the Dead by Daylight. I think the players, like like you said, like the other players can hurt the experience because they're usually either in for themselves or they're just morons.
Mm-hmm. They don't know how to play the game. Yeah,
yeah,
that happened to us too.
The connections are sometimes a mess, but. This one, I feel like I want to give this one a try. I'm interested.
I want people to like it, dude. If you do, it's crossplay, so it won't matter what console, but dude, I would love to get 3 more people so that we can just have private matches. Everybody switch off and on between who's bad, the bad guy.
Yeah.
I think that would be awesome.
There's only one map so far, but it's, you don't spawn in the same part of the map.
Like, yeah. And it's got like all spawn pieces
in a different part.
Yeah, it's got like some of the iconic locations from the movies in it. Dude, it's cool. It's cool as a fan. And they can add, dude, they can add, and they will add. I mean, like, because you think they could make skins and they're taking from the movies. Dude, they can add the Ash from Ash versus Evil Dead. They can add the rebooted Ash, the girl Ash, and all her people. So they have, even though there are a lot of no names to us, like they have characters, a lot of them that they can bring into this game.
They've already got plans to bring the quarry in from Army of the Dead too, or Army of Darkness.
Good. That's sweet. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah, that's a big deal for that one.
All right. So that's awesome. If you guys have things that you want to tell us that you played, you know, by all means, chat, leave it in the chat. Tell us somehow, whatever. Keep playing. Don't say anything, whatever.
One more thing about Evil Dead 2, the price point's good for what it is too. It's only $40.
Oh, definitely. They could have made their money on 60, but I think they knew that this genre is very iffy. Even Predator, I would play this game over any of those games. Even Predator, mm-hmm. And I love Predator just because I love Alien. And yeah. I think this game's just done. They did this the right way. And I think more games that come out that are like this. I think more games are going to come out now like this, like Fable Legends. We talked about this.
Yes,
this game. Okay. Yeah. This, if anyone was lucky enough to get into the alpha of Fable Legends, this game is Fable Legends just skinned as, you know, Evil Dead, because the way it played, the fact that, you know, you set the traps, you know, there's AI characters that you can control. Like, this is, I wouldn't be surprised if we hear, hey, guess what? Fable Legends is being worked on again. We're bringing it back. Because this is showing a lot for the genre of 4 versus 1 right now. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, and it's Evil Dead. Like, Evil Dead, Friday the 13th is a bigger franchise than Evil Dead. So is Predator. So the fact that they're doing so awesomely with such a limited amount of resources. I mean, look, they have to use 3 or 4 different Ashes in the game as characters. They're all different, you know, all from different movies. But, you know, they're still pulling it off. Nobody's like, oh, this game's stupid. There's 3 other Ashes with me. It's like they're still so different, even in appearance, that it doesn't matter.
That makes it easy that they look so much different. Super,
yeah.
But I think the fan base is like, it's very bullet. It's a very niche fan base, but they love it. So I think it'll be something that can easily spill over into the casual audience as long as the gameplay is solid and there's a roadmap for it.
Yeah, I think people, I mean, if you're listening or watching right now, fucking get this game, play it, try it any way you can. Like, it's worth it. Totally worth it. It'll be a little better.
Huh? I was against it at first because I was like, oh, great, another Dead by Daylight. But then seeing the mechanics and the gameplay, I was like, okay, this is different. Yeah.
I'm just like a fan. I'm a fan of Ash. I watched all the movies and I didn't like Army of Darkness I liked it, but just for its goofiness. The first 2 movies were weird. But I mean, I've always wanted a game like this. When other games that had Evil Dead in it came out and it wasn't like an Evil Dead game, I would be bummed out. But I've always, 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 if you listen to the show, wanted Ash in Mortal Kombat.
Yeah.
It never happened. And I swear to God, it was supposed to happen. It was supposed to happen because at the end of that one, the last release of Guys, there's a chainsaw playing. There's no other reason a chainsaw would be playing. No guy after that came out with a chainsaw. So anyways, I say this because usually how it goes is, you know, Mortal Kombat Injustice. And I'm always saying it should, you know, I want to see another Mortal Kombat versus DCU done the right way. That they've already showed that they can handle DC and make them graphically like brutal and still be good. But there is these rumors that we're actually getting a Mortal Kombat 12, actually very soon, like sooner than usual, even though traditionally it doesn't happen. And really, usually games like this obviously aren't worth talking about when someone's like, oh, so-and-so part 2 is coming out. It's like obvious. It's obvious that we're going to get a Mortal Kombat 12. We already know that. We don't know when. And usually it's after they make another game. Well, they're making this one, and the only reason that I believe it is because last Mortal Kombat 11, every single leak that came out was 100% true. Yeah, every single one of them.
That's right, yeah.
So this one comes out, and even though it's stating the obvious, it's actually stating stuff that's kind of, it is obvious. It is supposed to be rebooted. All right, it's supposed to be another reboot of the story. But if you played through the last one, you understand that that's exactly how the story, where it was going anyways. Liu Kang is in control and he's going to reboot the universe, right?
Yeah.
So like that's like kind of a given. So I don't know. It kind of bums me out because I really, even though I don't play and I don't like DC, I was kind of looking forward to another Injustice before a Mortal Kombat 12. And again, usually like it doesn't matter at all. It's just that Mortal Kombat 12 or Mortal Kombat 11 rumors all came true. What do you guys think? Did you even play Mortal Kombat 11?
No, I think I played 10 with you guys. Or
you didn't play 11?
No, I don't think. I don't think so. No, because that was never on Game Pass, was it?
It is on Game Pass now.
Yeah. Is it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it? Maybe now it is, but I don't think it was. But I don't think I never did play it.
Yeah. So it's the story's amazing. Like the story of Mortal Kombat and what they did was absolutely amazing.
That's one thing that throws me off because I really only played up until Mortal Kombat 3. And then really just kind of, I'm way behind the loop. So I never knew that there was actual story and stuff behind everything.
Well, at this point, most of what you've probably known at this point has been retconned anyway.
So. Yeah.
Yeah, the stories didn't really happen until Mortal Kombat 9, the official big reboot, because that's when games started. Well, Mike, you would know, but I'm going to loosely say that Mortal Kombat was the first fighting game that actually did the campaign in the way that it's seriously one huge story, and throughout it you're switching through characters instead of playing the same story with the same character and getting different endings, which makes nothing viable as a source of like certainty. But Mortal Kombat had a story that was, no matter what you did when you played campaign, you played this and you switched through the different characters of it. I know Street Fighter V did it, but that was after Mortal Kombat 9.
Yeah, there's like a couple of other games that did it, like Blaze Blue Calamity Trigger. Like the Blaze Blue games also had that kind of story element to it, but those were less popular at the time. Mortal Kombat's like the first big franchise that took that direction. And since I think one of Mortal Kombat's strongest aspects is its lore, it's a pretty good idea to take it with. Like Street Fighter's story, nobody really cares about the story in Street Fighter. Karate Man with no shoes beats up guy in funny hat and cape. That's there isn't.
Because I don't think they had a good writer. Like, I mean, I haven't played 5. I played through 4. Did 4 even have a campaign, or was that still based on like you picked somebody and you just played their little story?
Yeah, it was like arcade endings. And like the format with that is that you don't know who the protagonist is, because everyone just goes, oh, well, Ryu, Ken, and Chun-Li are the main characters. But like the main character of Street Fighter 3 was Alex. The main character of Street Fighter 4 was Abel. The main character of Street Fighter 5 is technically Rashid. So it, when you play like their focused endings, you're going to get like the most of the canon plot. And with Mortal Kombat, they took advantage of the fact that there's a lot of substance with some of the characters. Like historically, I always thought Liu Kang was a bit of a wiener. So I think him turning heel and becoming this like chaotic god that wants to control the universe, I think that's the right path for it to go. So when Raiden went back in time in Mortal Kombat 9 after he gave himself that message to not let him win, he screwed up the canonical timeline. And most of Mortal Kombat X, which was like the branching point from where that went off, was essentially retconned by the time 11 came. By the time 11 came out, so there was a part of me that was a little disappointed because I liked some of the generation, the second generation heroes like Takeda and Kung Jin, who I don't know if he was anyone's son. I believe he was a descendant of someone, and Jackie Briggs and Casey Cage, Cassie. And like some of those characters are still around. So I like the idea of like it starting back over. And I'm surprised that most King of Fighters 15 tried a cinematic story. No, it was 13. King of Fighters 13 tried like this kind of like cinema moment, but it didn't tell you which characters you had to play and which matches you had to win or lose. So it was kind of busted and disjointed. So I feel like that Mortal Kombat nailed it the best. And also the greatest creation ever, which, I mean, I brought up Mortal Kombat Mythologies, talking about Trek Naomi. Mortal Kombat Mythologies actually started the concept of the Crypt, which is that giant map that you can, like, go through and unlock all of these, like, Easter eggs. So Yeah, like the Mortal Kombat games have a great deal of a replay value. And it's a shame that there isn't going to be another Injustice, because they usually used Injustice as like a litmus test for features that they can add into the new Mortal Kombat.
I mean, look, this is still, I mean, it's still a leak. They could still be planning. Stuff like this, to me, when we know that traditionally the next step is Injustice, these things behind the scenes, it's not like Ed Boon or somebody is like, you know what, this time we're going to make another Mortal Kombat because I feel like it. It's like, no, we have to make another Injustice game or we lose the rights to the DC characters. Yep. That's the kind of shit they got to do. So they kind of have to do that. So if we're expecting the Injustice, but then we're getting leaks about Mortal Kombat, which are always right, always with an asterisk, at least for the last game, this could again mean Mortal Kombat versus DCU 2, because this dude's only getting the Mortal Kombat part of the leak, you know? So who the fuck knows? DCU and Mortal Kombat could, if they're smart or, you know, not smart, I can't say that, but they could, the retcon of this and the rebooting of the universe, Liu Kang could actually be the one that makes this amalgamation happen because of what he does in Control. Or, yeah, he's the one who has Control, right? By the end, him. Yeah. So by him starting all this shit again, they can use that as a great, like, reboot of the DCU timeline versus MK. And that would be fucking awesome, because every time a Mortal Kombat character gets into Injustice, it's awesome.
It's, yeah. I'm
Side note, which Mortal Kombat character is going to end up first in that multiverses game?
Scorpion.
Him or Sub-Zero probably, yeah. No, Raiden maybe.
Oh.
I want to say Johnny Cage.
Oh, yeah.
Solely because they've used the ninjas so much, and Raiden's also been in Injustice already. But then again, they do that all the time. They put Scorpion in everything, and they put Sub-Zero in other games, and Batman's in everything. So,
yeah. So I'm looking at an article here for Mortal Kombat 12. It says it's supposed to be coming out in April next year.
April 23, yeah, on a new engine, which would be Unreal 5, which would also make it straight up next gen.
That's what it says. Only Xbox Series X. It says a Switch, though, too, and PlayStation 5. And it's also going to have a new game mode called 1 to 100, where players face off against 100 players on King of the Hill with special mystery buffs or debuffs.
Huh. Okay, now that's interesting, because fighting games have been trying to tap into that sort of esports battle royale thing, because like the genre is super niche. Like people buy the games on like a casual level, but there's only a handful of people that play them for like tournament savvy. So if this is an attempt to blend like some sort of battle royale kumite with fighting games, bring it.
Imagine how long you have to go though for 100. If you're the first 100? One, dude, you have to win. You have to make sure you win 99 matches. But yeah, I mean, hey, they do those kind of things, and they do things that test the net code. And I mean, look, I don't know, because another point, Mike, that you brought up is they do use Injustice for a lot of things. Specifically, the net code was actually tweaked out in Injustice, correct? Right. At the end, the tail end of it, they brought out this new net code, fixed all this shit, and then they brought it directly into Mortal Kombat, which made it fucking work phenomenally online. So again, DC could be involved in this, because look, why not? Mortal MK DCU, it's not canon. They don't need to work too much on a storyline. Fucking.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I got a list of guest characters too here.
Okay.
Freddy Krueger. Jason Voorhees.
It's all the same.
Leatherface. Pennywise. Michael Myers. RoboCop. Skeletor. Ryu. Spawn.
No. Ryu. They wouldn't bring Ryu.
Pazuzu. Some demon from the Exorcist franchise.
Yeah, it's like a take on Satan.
Ah. The Nun from whatever that horror movie is. The
Conjuring.
Sauron, which I'm not sure how that's going to work, if it's going to be him in his big black armor. Death, the Grim Reaper. Bayonetta.
These people are just throwing out names. Every character in gaming.
2B from Nier Automata. Yeah, that was it.
Yeah, I mean, that'd be cool. Like, I love their special. If they just made a game, it's strictly just all of their special characters. No Mortal Kombat. It's just all the DLC characters from Mortal Kombat 9 through 11, all in their own game. You know, these guys were supposed to be making a monster game, all monster characters. So it'd be like Freddy, Jason, Michael Myers, just those in a fighting game. Somebody made a game like that. It's kind of like a. All right, so. This game is going to obviously be straight up next gen. News that Gotham Knights is being canceled on last gen.
Yeah. Good.
Ha ha.
Well, I mean, it is. It's good because, like, all we're seeing now is more and more games that are just straight up next gen. So have you watched any of the gameplay for this game?
No, all I've seen is just the launch trailer back, last year when they talked about it?
I did. I'm not impressed so far. I don't know if they're using assets from some of the Batman games, or maybe because they were trying to get it to work on last gen. The combat looks a little unpolished, and the animations are, like, overly mechanical.
Yeah, this game traditionally, though, uses. Okay, so what I'm thinking, because I got that feeling, but I got it when Nightwing was going back and forth between enemies. The fact that, and Batman does the same thing, they kind of want you to seamlessly go back and forth, but they were missing some animations, a lot of animations with Nightwing, and he was literally, like, just sliding, and it looked wrong.
It looked like he'd cartwheel over, but it feels like he's attached to, like, a conveyor belt, and he's just...
Yes. Whoop, his hits didn't even look like they were chunky either.
You could say it's early in this game, but they've been working on this for, what, a year and a half, 2 years now?
Yeah.
So, like, I'll give them the benefit of the doubt that maybe they have some kinks to work out, and they did push this game back, so... maybe these are some issues that they have to kind of iron out, and it is running on Unreal Engine 4, and maybe the text just showing its age. But they're clearly going for that, like, Spider-Man Miles Morales style of combat, but it's, like, not as fast. It's like they're trying to make
it definitely looks slower. Yeah.
Well, that's how Arkham Knight was. It was more Well, not with some characters like Nightwing, it wasn't. You didn't get to play Nightwing and everything, only just the arcade missions. But even with Batman, like, the fighting and the combos were way slower, but because that's, like, he's a brawler. And I like that. Batman, like, the falter in Batman was that once you beat the game and kill everyone, they're literally done. That you go around Gotham and no one exists, which was really, really stupid. Really stupid. You couldn't just pick a fight and fight for a long time. Like, Shadow of War, perfect, because you can go into one of those things all OP and still, like, get your ass kicked. And if you don't, you can fight for as long as you want.
Yeah.
In Batman, you beat up five guys, maybe achieve a 10-hit combo, and then that's it. Half the game, you won't even see anymore because you can't achieve things that high. But I think the big get to this game isn't even going to be like, yeah, it's Batman. Like, for me, I don't like Batman, but the game was good. I like these kind of games. I think the big thing for this game is the fact that it's co-op. And believe it or not, like, outside of Rise, no one's really attempted games like this as co-op. Ninja Turtles, semi, but this game is going to be straight up like two people playing Spider-Man. And even though if you took and re-released Spider-Man, the first Spider-Man that came out on PS4, but you told everybody, but this one is two-player, multiplayer, online, one person Spider-Man, one person's Miles. Exact game as PS4, but that's the feature. Guaranteed the game would sell as many copies. because now you can play that game with two people, like just the planning of shit you can do. I mean, that's what's going to be crazy about it, because the fact that having a two-player part also, like, you got to think about what if there's going to be people, even if they're friends or not, that are going to try to test the limits. What if I'm on one side of the map and you're on the exact opposite side of the map? Like, how is it going to deal with that? Because a lot of games will just pull you together.
I was going to say that exact same thing. It'd be cool if it would do that, because a lot of games will pull you back together, and that kind of ruins it. Because
if you could,
I want to go to the other side of town and do something else.
Yeah, be like, hey, I'm gonna go monitor the east. You check out the west. You know what I'm saying? And like,
unless it's something about the main story mission that you both have to be there, then that's different. But otherwise, if it's open world, be able to go do what you want.
There's also a rumor that even though the recent trailers show two players, like the Red Hood and Nightwing showing two players, there's a lot of people saying it's part of the reason that it's being pushed back is four players. And I believe it, because if they've finally been like, all right, you know what? Fuck this. Just, we're not focusing on last gen anymore because the animation looks stupid. We can't get all the shit in there. And second of all, if we ditch that, we can add two other people, which is absolutely true. You get rid of it. And you know what I'm saying? So push the time back. You make the game four player and you skip that two player. Like, fuck, dude. I mean, you might as well not even bring out the Suicide Squad game. Unless that's four player.
Right. Like,
that game looks like it would be.
Yeah, I feel like that could be like DC's answer to whatever Crystal Dynamics was trying to land with like Marvel's Avengers. And like that, it's a good idea in theory, except that one's just like, you're just mashing through a bunch of enemies. So
yeah, I think that if they're doing anything, it would be more like Guardians of the Galaxy with all the characters that there are, like, and all the combos. Because look, pulling off combos like would be sweet, and in multiplayer, I can imagine it'd be a little hard. And without a game even being out as that, you would think that they would immediately be touting it too. Like, hey, two players.
You don't want to push like the limitations of like that old hardware to try and accommodate that. So you put this on the Series X and the PlayStation 5. Ensure that like the netcode runs properly, even like some of the scenarios, like stopping a henchman from like driving away on that truck in that one scenario. If there's like a way you can get like, if you can coin like a four player quick time event, and I generally have a problem with quick time events, but if you can incorporate that in a multiplayer game, I think that'd be pretty intense.
Let me say,
Rise does it,
that's right.
Marvel Avengers kind of had it, but it was really hard to pull off sometimes.
Oh yeah, when you were doing your finishing move on an enemy, there'd be a part in the middle of the finishing move of a big boss that someone else can jump in.
Yeah,
and so finish.
You would double team.
Yeah, that was actually pretty sweet.
It was when you could do it, but it was always so hard to do it because there's so much going on.
You'd never notice when it's like showing the icon.
Yeah, so like if that goes forward, because like there's always that question about which superhero should get their own game. I don't even know if they should focus on making individual superhero games. Just make like team mashups, like Gotham Knights and Guardians of the Galaxy. I think that'd be pretty. I think that'd be a much cooler way to incorporate a bunch of superheroes into a work instead of figuring out a way to develop a proper solo player Superman game. Because what could there be to do in a solo Superman game? He's in
beat everybody up and fly around.
That's the problem. Yeah.
What are you gonna do? Give Superman a skill tree? Like
you'd have to show him probably just from infancy. Like,
just have him grow up.
Learning. Right. Just like a baby.
With Gotham Knights, if it's four player and they add more characters as DLC, you could get the Teen Titans in there.
True.
That would be pretty cool. Or even a lot of the Young Justice characters. There's a lot of good ones in there too.
So I think this game, though, this game would suffer what the Avengers suffers, and where, you know, okay, who's the most popular character? Or we'll say Harley Quinn. Everyone's going to want to be Harley Quinn. Well, then you're never going to find a game. you know, or you're going to be forced to have. And then when they do come out with the new characters, just like Overwatch and everything, everybody plays them. So like, if you had your heart set, you still got to wait a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, which, hey, you know, people wait, but still, it's like there's got to be other ways to do it. And yeah, you could do it in the beginning of a game's life cycle because it's so popular, you could do that. Like, there's going to be so many games where it would happen, but, you know, at least like Evil Dead, they do it because by having different versions of Ash, knowing that Ash is the only character anyone even knows from the game.
Yeah.
So there's many different ones that you could be. So you're never going to be like screwed with like Molly or whatever. All right. Well, we're going to be getting into some visual news pretty soon. Is anyone excited that Kirby 64 is coming to the Nintendo Switch Online store thing?
Finally.
No? It's a good game, but not jazzed.
I never played it.
I've never played a Kirby game.
I played a Game Boy Kirby game, and I played Kirby as Kirby in Smash Brothers.
His games have always been like good stress relievers. They're not super demanding. Kirby 64, I like it better than Donkey Kong 64, which is one of the shittiest games on the Nintendo 64, because Kirby's left 2D. His games have historically been 2D until the Forgotten World that was recently released on the Switch. So this one's like more of what you know from Kirby, except it's got polygons. It's kind of cute. I did read like a funny thing about how there's more subscribers to the N64 and Sega Genesis expansion packs per Switch user. So it's working, I guess. I mean, people made fun of it when they announced it, but the Switch owners are going to buy it. I don't know if that's a testament to it being good, because the Switch fans will buy anything. So,
yeah, well, there you go. Kirby. Like, I do that, whatever. They have so much, they could do so many cool things with their characters, and they don't. Like, have a Kirby and Yoshi game. Why not? Why have they never done that before?
Yeah,
Yoshi, I would actually be interested in playing that.
What if Yoshi ate Kirby?
Oh, snap.
Just probably,
would it be an egg that came out of the back?
I don't know. Well, no, he could turn the egg into oh wait, no, you swallow the egg or you spit it out and it turns into something different. Like, so it would be
Yoshi
fire.
Would eat Kirby, he spits out a pink egg that then becomes a pink Kirby that could eat Yoshi, and then
by swallowing.
Yeah.
Then what power does Kirby get after he eats Yoshi?
Lay eggs.
He can make more Kirbys. Oh god.
Yes. Yeah. That'd be awesome.
Then the game's just overpopulated with Kirby's everywhere.
Give me that.
All right, so we've mentioned before quite often about Sega, and people are, you know, there's the rumor that they're making a new Crazy Taxi game and some other game. Well, they just had their whole, I guess everybody's doing their financial reporting right now, and they just told their investors that they plan to launch multiple titles that fall in the categories of remake, remaster, spin-off, or change of theme before March 2023. That's nothing original, but it means that, well, yeah, it's nothing original is coming. But they have definite plans to bring some things that we have seen before back. Crazy Taxi, still people are saying it's not going to be one of them. And right now, if you look at Sonic Origins, which is coming out, that actually kind of fits their whole, what they're telling investors openly. So that must have been their kind of plan. And now they're doing this. So maybe they're going to be planning some sort of universe, Sega. Maybe they're going to, I don't know. Mike, you like Sega. Besides Crazy Taxi, what do you think that they could be bringing back, spinning off?
I've heard Jet Set Radio is one of those. That's like one of those.
I've never played that.
It was
fun.
It was like pretty cool for its time. Not as fluid as like Tony Hawk. But
it was like Sunset Overdrive, cel shaded.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. and I thought it was one of the more like charming Dreamcast games. So if you could like repurpose that for modern times and maybe update what it is, because it had a sequel on the Xbox that not a lot of people talked about, and it was technically a better game than the first one. So
well, that's when it was Jet Set, right? Because it was Jet Grind Radio for Dreamcast,
right?
So do you think that Sega, with how, I mean, look, if you know anything, you know that the Dreamcast has a huge like fan interest right now, and people have, I mean, for years appreciated it for the fact that it was unappreciated. Now Sega could just go into the whole how everybody's just re-releasing stuff and having their own digital stores. Like, they could potentially just give us all the Dreamcast stuff that pretty much none of us played because so much shit was out there already.
Right. They've invested so much in reminding people how awesome the Genesis was. Nothing for the Saturn, which the Saturn I heard is hard to emulate for, and it wasn't that popular anyway. But like, they wasn't it during like early in the Xbox 360's life, they released like some like Dreamcast Essentials, and it was like Space Channel 5 and Choo Choo Rocket. But they only made like one of those, and the Dreamcast, its library wasn't as big as the PS2, and a lot of its games were like built for like, they're very arcadey in philosophy at a time where home consoles were starting to become more substantial, to the point that you didn't need to play coin-op games. I don't know if Sega's ever truly got themselves out of that mentality, and they kind of veered away from a lot of their franchises, or except for some of the ones that are still popular in Japan, like Shining Force and Sakura Wars. But like, it took Dotemu to pretty much badger them into making Streets of Rage 4, and that was one of last gen's coolest games. So could they like revamp a Golden Axe or something, or maybe bring back some of those or in like 2005 they made like Project Ultra Beast, which was a game that was only released in Europe. We didn't get that for the PS2. And honestly, when I look at trailers and gameplay of it, it looks kind of awesome. I think American gamers could have eaten that up.
Dude, if you put any of the, you put Altered Beast, what was the one you just said before that?
Frick, Golden Axe.
Golden Axe. You put Altered Beast or Golden Axe. Well, Golden Axe was already kind of like a side scroll beat 'em up, but you put Altered Beast as a side scrolling beat 'em up, it'd be fucking great. And with now, like, even how, and it could have been with seeing how, I don't know how successful Streets of Rage 4 was, but how awesome the game is and how good it plays, and how it just, it keeps the side-scrolling beat-em-up with adding a lot of stuff, which a lot of people can't do. A lot of these newer side-scrollers, like, they're just as simple as the ones you've played every other time. So they did do, and if they were to add all that kind of stuff to their older properties, yet keep it looking retro, dude, I think they could have something 100%. Like, especially for people that didn't play on the original, like, Genesis. I was a Super Nintendo guy, so I played Altered Beast, but not enough. You know, I didn't play Golden Axe enough. I played the arcade Golden Axe, but, like, those are properties that haven't been touched.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like that. Or I mean, it's not going to happen because they hate it, but Eternal Champions.
Holy fuck, dude. That was great.
Yeah.
God,
yeah.
Like, I was so pissed off when I learned that Sega of Japan killed that game because they wanted to push Virtual Fighter 2 as the Genesis.
They had a second one already, like, ready.
Yeah, and they weren't allowed to pull the trigger on it. There was like an indie campaign going for it, but it didn't get launched and it got canceled. It was going to be called like Eternal Successors. Didn't happen. But yeah, Eternal Champions, beloved, it never got the time of day. It was looked at as like a Mortal Kombat clone, but I thought it had like some of the best aspects of Street Fighter and Mortal Kombat. It had the violence of MK and like the Street Fighter style gameplay.
Yep. Well, and the fact that it had the stage fatalities.
Yes.
The stage fatalities, like, were sweet. The fact that it just had them. And I didn't know how to do them as a kid, so they would just accidentally happen. It'd be so awesome.
just slapping the controller until it worked.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, it's like, give me some of that. Leave Echo the Dolphin. Unless you can like rebuild, because Echo the Dolphin wouldn't be impossible to do. Because I played Endless Ocean on the Wii, so a modern Echo the Dolphin might be interesting.
Yeah, maybe. Dolphins don't do anything though.
Yeah,
what would you do? Echo the shit out of things, like woo 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 woo.
At least with Echo.
Sharks, you can like kill. I know in Echo, but Echo, the cool thing was just like swimming. It was like flying.
It looked so cool. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's get into some TV movie stuff. But we'll do it with a nice little game movie thing that's coming out. Actually, it's the TV show. Have you guys been watching the chat? Hi, chat. I haven't been watching you guys. Bocephus, Corrupted Cloud, what's going on, guys?
Oh.
I am going to play the trailer for Resident Evil that's coming out on Netflix. It's just a teaser. I'll play the teaser and then we'll talk about it a little bit.
Billy, Jade, welcome home.
I'd like to build the world a home.
I really think you guys are going to love it here.
So,
say something. Until it's out, I really can't tell just because of the track record of Resident Evil as it is. I mean, sure, yeah, you see, they're working on this virus or whatever, and then there's a bunch of zombies. Okay, that's anything else. It doesn't say anything Resident Evil other than seeing an umbrella.
Yeah.
What's with the Five Nights at Freddy's?
That little bear? Yeah.
Is Resident Evil that hard to adopt it's been years now, so at least with the Paul Anderson movies, if I pretend they're not, if I just watch it in a vacuum, they're silly action films. And
the first one was not that bad for being like kind of related to the game though.
The main character was nobody that was ever in the game. That's the only bad part.
Yeah.
I could even almost suspend my disbelief and just say, okay, Alice will just be like the proxy character for the audience to witness these events as we see them. So yeah. I had a problem with like lasers taking out most of the crew, but
that was so
that's right.
Such a great scene though.
Like,
the laser net coming by. I forgot about that.
Yeah. That's like the last guy's like doing all. He's like doing all.
Yeah, you think he got it, and then he's like, "Fuck!"
And then the giant grid shows up, and his face just says, "Oh shit,
dude." That's so. I saw the rebooted movie. Did you guys see the movie, the new one?
Yeah.
Okay, so it wasn't good, but they stuck with the game material, I think, too much. To the point where you knew what was going to happen because they did it like, okay, the iconic scene where you're supposed to have been seeing the zombie for the first time when he's on the ground eating and then he turns around. Now that scene is in the movie. The thing is like, it's so flat out, like they're walking up to this thing eating it and you're like, okay, it's a zombie. We know it's going to show the face, but we have already seen the scene. So the impact of the scene as being the first time we see this by default doesn't exist. So why put scenes like that in here?
Yeah, it was a weird decision to have both Resident Evil 1 and 2 stories starting at the same time. Because by the time they get to the Arkley Mansion, we've already seen, like, the fires, and we've already seen the zombies taking over the city.
So you know what's in the mansion. The mansion was where you're supposed to figure out what the fuck's going on in the mansion. Yeah. Like, it could be haunted, it could be nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the Queen of the Dam, that movie, for sure.
I was entertained by it, but for all of the wrong reasons. And most of the stuff that they did, like in like the opening, so, sorry if these are spoilers, Jack.
Don't matter.
is like the opening takes those parts from the Resident Evil 2 remake of Chris and Claire growing up in the orphanage that Birkin is running. And they did a good job adopting that, but I don't know why it was necessary, because we're now cramming all of these stories into one, and there's no time to properly flesh things out. So it was cool to see references for the sake of references, but yeah, lots of cooks in the kitchen with it. Mm-hmm. During the mansion part, like it did look super small, and I understand why. Like, I read that Capcom had given like the film crew the schematics to make it. I think that's why the police department from the RE2 part and the mansion looked so good. But then you get
perfect.
Yeah, and that looked stellar. But then you get to some things like. Pardon me if I'm rambling here, but when it does the itchy tasty thing, like when you run into that in the first game, it's because you're like reading the memos mm-hmm. from the guy that gets bit by the zombie and he's slowly losing his humanity. In the movie, there's just like the zombie writing it on like on like the glass, and then like 8 seconds later, she just crashes through the door. You don't get. You don't get the significance of that reference.
Yeah, that movie was screwed up. And that's why, no one really has faith in this Resident Evil. And look, even if they pull it off, it's too little too late. I mean, it's just too little too late. You blew it. You should have did it the first time and just dominated with the with the zombie movies. You can't touch zombies anymore. Like, a zombie movie will never be the best zombie movie you've ever seen.
It'll be another zombie movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, they all just become gun fests.
So yeah. you would think that would happen with the Predator, right? So the Predator is, we all know the Predator, Schwarzenegger, jungle, then it goes to the LA with Danny Glover, and then it went on to all sorts of different shit. They canonized it with Aliens, which I love.
Yeah.
And so love, and it's another one of those things where it's like one of those properties where it's almost they may not need to make one, but they're always going to make Predator movies. This time, the movie is called Prey, and I appreciate this because it's going to confuse a lot of fucking people, and a lot of people aren't going to realize it's a Predator movie until the last trailers start coming out, because some people just aren't that much fans of it. Some people don't watch trailers on the internet, so they're just going to read Prey, a Prey movie coming out.
Right.
So have you guys seen the trailers for this?
I think I've seen this one.
It's not long. It's like a few seconds long, and it just shows these two indigenous tribe girls, or I think running through the woods being chased by something, or at some point during the little trailer, they're being chased by something and it's the Predator, because at the end, the three laser pointer things ends up on the chick's head as she draws a bow.
That's right. Yeah, I did see this. Yep.
This movie is a prequel in the sense that it is the first, I read about it, it's the first encounter of predators on Earth. So it happens about 500 years ago. I don't know how this could turn out, because you're talking bows and arrows versus lasers.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's interesting that they're giving us at least some sort of origin story to this. And it's not called Predator at all.
Maybe the settlers come and get their guns and cannons out and help the indigenous.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Well, I think this would be a good movie to really solidify whether they're going to go with, you know, Ridley Scott's origins or the Alien versus Predator origins of the aliens, at least aliens on Earth, will be this movie. Like this, if this movie ends with, you know, hey, we, you know, instead of going around killing humans, we're going to do this with the aliens. You know what I'm saying? Because if anybody's seen the first Alien versus Predator, that's what they do. That's how aliens got to Earth, was predators. Mm-hmm.
You think they're going to let loose an alien and have a predator chase it here in between humans?
No. I'm saying this movie will just, I don't think aliens are going to be in this movie. And if they are, would only be the fact that, like, at the end of the movie, whatever happens, which I don't know, the predators are like, either A, this is stupid because we're hunting like these primitive people, or they're because they do have honor. So they could be like, hey, instead of taking these people, which aren't very many on this planet right now, anyways, instead of doing that, why don't we use this land or this temple that they built us for the aliens, and then we can hunt aliens and not disturb any of these people.
Yeah.
The times could fit. The time periods could fit. But Ridley Scott has kind of doesn't like that as the origin of his aliens. Hmm. So, but I don't know.
It so works. Is Ridley Scott still on for the project?
No, Ridley Scott's not on this one, but he's been on, he did Prometheus, Covenant, and he's on site for the show that's coming out.
Okay.
Which is also something that's going to be weird because it's happening at the same time as Prometheus, but on Earth.
Hmm. So I wonder if they're just waiting for Ridley to like wrap up whatever it is he wants to say with Alien and maybe throw some Easter eggs into Prey and like maybe do like a post-credit sequence.
I hope, because look, you got to also think, let's take a stroll back to 1990 fucking seven. When Predator 2 came out, at the very end of that movie in the trophy room, you see a xenomorph skull on the trophy wall. And from that point on is when I was like, this is fucking sweet. But the fact is, at that point, Ridley Scott was very much into it, like an alien, like he made aliens, but he's very much alien and he allowed that to happen. Granted, he's not the only one in charge of that IP, I'm sure. But I mean, ever since then, it's been tied in. So like, I don't know. Either way. There's one more thing I want to talk about, which we didn't talk about last week. One more movie, and it's Avatar 2. A movie I dog the movie all the time, pretty much based on the fact that what can it do? It has the same issues that The Matrix had, but The Matrix solved the issue by addressing the issue in the movie and by insisting upon itself and understanding what it is. Avatar can't do that. It can't just come out and say, hey, you like this, but this is what, you know what I'm saying? Like,
more the thing with people. Avatar,
the Avatar was the special effects. And quite frankly, we as gamers see better cinematics now in our video games than we do on the screen. We can see similar. If you're talking straight up CGI scenes, we have the same. So like, that's where I start doubting Avatar 2. You know, like, what are they going to do to wow us? Because their wow was the CGI and the graphics.
Yep. That's exactly what I was saying too. Yeah. It was groundbreaking when it came out. Now it's just continuation of giant blue people.
Which also the story of it is Pocahontas. Or Dances with Wolves. So, so when you make a sequel to those, you know what I'm saying? Like, and so you guys both saw the... did you see the trailer too, Mike? Did you look up the trailer I was talking about? Okay, so there's another trailer out for Avatar 2. And so I saw this trailer and it kind of changed my mind now. I didn't want anything to do with Avatar 2. I'm still under the basis that like maybe they were going to do something with like water, literally like try to wow us with all these wowy water effects and stuff. But again, that's been perfected. Like that's not hard to do anymore. I think the story might be good. And the only reason and it's going to sound stupid, the only thing that made me like double take and say, I want to see more is the child. The guy, I don't know anyone's name, but the main character of the first one and the girl from the first one have a kid in the Avatar land. We'll call it Avertonia. And the kid has like Caucasian skin and he's one of the Na'vi. Just that is why I'm in. Because the fact that they have a kid, but it's carrying human traits now. It's another thing that's been done before. The child can save us all. It's part of this and that, half zombie, half human. But
the only thing is, how could that happen? Because his consciousness went into the artificial body or whatever, the clone body that they made.
I mean, so how can that happen?
The tree of life that they prayed to and made all the lights glowy and stuff.
Wait, didn't they do the Tree of Lights before he was transferred permanently?
Yes.
So you might say, how does his semen transfer from... But he technically, they did that whole dance before he was officially killed. And
but his body was laying over here, so maybe they just took some seeds and...
I don't know. But either way, maybe it's not even his. But there's a kid, and there's going to be a lot of war, and it looks it reminded me a little bit of Warcraft, the Warcraft movie. So I don't know. I want to see more now. I'm not going to brush it off until I see more that makes me want to brush it off.
I enjoyed it. I'll have to see it in 3D because I've tried watching Avatar not in 3D because that was when I went to the theater. I saw it IMAX 3D, and it was. Crap, I couldn't watch it because it didn't have the same effect with all the depth. So I'll have to see this one in 3D. I'm going to go see it. I like the first one as much as people joke about it.
It wasn't a bad movie. I just didn't think it wasn't groundbreaking. Even when I saw it, I was like, all right, it's cool. Like, I appreciate it. But dude, like the fucking Star Wars prequels had just as much green screen and effects and shit. Like,
I wasn't pulled into it. Like the effects looked impressive, but I couldn't immerse myself into it. As opposed to like going back to like Prometheus, I saw both Prometheus and Alien Covenant in 3D, and when they land on those worlds, it looks phenomenal. Mm. And in Avatar. It's pretty, but it's I'm waiting for the prompt to show up that says press X to skip. It's
Corrupted Cloud. It was a pretty jungle with floaty rocks. I mean,
Corrupted Cloud. He said it swims, hence the water. So he's saying that the kid swims, and maybe he could breathe underwater. I don't know. I only saw Avatar like once, so I don't even remember how much water was even in Avatar to begin with. Maybe they never touched the ground, and now they finally go to the ground and like, oh, there's water under here. Why didn't we ever come down here to begin with?
Right?
Yeah, I don't know.
I swear that was like a plot in like one of the Xenoblade games where they're like living in the clouds, and it's like, we can't go to the surface world. And then like at the end of the game, you just do. So.
Oh, hey, okay, so Dude, I didn't even do the taste test, so I'm going to do the taste test.
Yeah. Oh, that's right.
Oh, man, I'm sorry, everybody. All right, so check it out.
End the show on that.
Yeah, all right, so a while ago, I tasted something from Coke. They do this Coke Creations, and they're just making up flavors. Like, chips do it all the time, but Coke made it like it's a limited edition thing. And the first one was called, I don't remember what it was called now, but it tasted like space, Starlight. And it was supposed to taste like space. So I got a can and I did a taste on the show. And what it ended up being was kind of cherry vanilla Coke. That's literally all it was like, I was saying it was vanilla Coke, but then like it was pink. And then you could taste it was kind of like cherry vanilla Coke. So I feel duped. So I went online because the next one is called Bite and it's only available online. The Starlight was in stores. So I got, and I ordered this, it comes in this box. All right. And
it's going to be Coke Lime. Watch. Lime.
And inside of it, it's like, taste the game. And then, you know, it's a nice little thing in here. Yeah. There's a little card, and it says, inspired by the humble and iconic Pixel, Coca-Cola Zero Sugar Bite celebrates the friendships and connections that are the essence of gaming. Take a sip and taste the pixels. We hope you share it with others.
It tastes like a microscopic square.
Got a cool holographic sticker.
All right.
And the cans come like this. There's two of them. And these aren't the mini cans. Like the other one was mini. These are like
Red Bull
cans. Tall Red Bull cans. Yeah, 12 ounce.
Yeah.
And they're the Coke Zero. So let's see.
It's a can of nano bites.
I just die.
Yeah. Ooh, it looks delicious.
No, it's not. It's not.
What is it?
Oh.
Dragon fruit.
Dude, I don't know. Like, the thing is because it's Coke Zero, it's like I'm used to regular Coke and then going to diet. It's got that.
Oh, God. So it has all this artificial sweetness.
Yes.
Oh, God. Oh,
dude. See, I haven't had Coke in I don't even know how long. I had Coke Zeros every once in a while, and it tastes like almost like Coke, but not that diet flavor, because I know what you mean, and I hate it.
Yeah, like it's just off enough, because like it has that weird aftertaste for me.
Yeah,
yeah. This one, I don't even know. It tastes like some sort of. It tastes like watered down fruit. That's it. Like there's nothing. There's nothing. What the fuck are they doing?
What color is it?
The liquid. It's like yellow.
Like Red Bull.
I don't know. I don't have a. Yeah, it looks.
It's urine.
I mean, I've tasted it before. It's really like, really bland. Oh man, that sucks.
Like it was open and left out all day.
Yeah, it does. It tastes like a flat soda that was carbonated after it went flat. The other one tasted not bad. It tasted like a real soda, but this is gross, dude. Coca-Cola, you failed on this. This is, and you know, they even say like there's a somewhere on here. It's like this is not a souvenir. It's meant to be like consumed. That's a lie. Don't consume it. Keep it. This is one of those things like it'll taste the same, like a few years down the road. It'll taste the exact same.
I just Googled it. Someone said it has a grape flavor to it.
It might be grape, which is the fruit, but it's so like, ugh, it's gross. But again, I don't care if pixels taste like that, then fine. I don't know.
So if it tastes like grape, it's probably more watered down because like, if you like grape juice, it gives you kind of a bite in the jaw when you drink
and grape it. Soda is some of my favorite soda ever.
Yeah, it's the same way. But if that doesn't do anything like that, it just lightly tastes like grape, then.
Yeah.
It's like watered down crapola.
I'm going to keep doing this, though. If they release another one, I'm going to try it. But this is just awful. This one is no bueno at all.
At least you have a cool-looking can to put on the shelf now, the unopened one.
Oh, you know what? That reminds me. Hold on. I got a few minutes. All right. Talk.
Oh.
So,
how much did you spend on it? Was it like $6 for the can?
No, I think it was like 20 for two. Or something.
Was it that much? I thought it was cheaper than that when you sent the link originally.
It might have been, but it wasn't. It was more than a normal can. I mean, it's a price that would be like something to collect. Coca-Cola.com/creations. So what this can also does, the first can, when you went to this website and you lined up your can with it, it would perform, some artist that I don't know would perform a concert on top of the can in AR. This one is supposed to play a video game.
Really?
Oh, that's right. There was something about a game with it. I forgot about that.
Like via QR code?
I'm going on the website now, and it's going to... Oh. Whatever.
Please register. Corrupted Cloud said it tastes like purple.
It does taste very like purple. It tastes like purple in water.
Ugh. Oh man. Yes, man. It's like those mixed drinks I used to get as a kid when I had like a half like a canister of Tang and I've got like a Kool-Aid packet. It's like, I wonder what happened if I mix this together. And it
nightmares.
Just, destroys the taste buds.
All right, let's see. All right. I don't think I'm gonna be able to get this to work in time. So yeah, I guess whatever. Maybe I'll film it because I can capture it and film it and blah blah blah. But everybody, thank you for tuning in. We have events coming up. A couple of them next month. One of them is Three Rivers and one of them is Toyhio. We'll have the information for you guys like closer to the show. Patrons, obviously, if you see us, you get free stuff and discounts. If you're not a patron, go to patreon.com/gamefixshow. Check it out. You get backstage access to us. You get to tell us to do things and we do them. And yeah, there's a lot more planned. Mike, you were raising your hand.
Oh yeah, I forgot my retro reboot.
Oh yeah, okay, go ahead.
Yeah, this week I'm going back to review the game that made me fall in love with SNK Fighters, the first Fatal Fury on Sega Genesis. Wow. I'm going to talk about both the Super Nintendo and the Genesis versions, but I loved those home ports that they made of those games.
Yeah, I had Fatal Fury for my Super Nintendo. It was great.
Yeah, it was so great. Loved it.
Awesome. Yeah, check that out. You're going to put that out tomorrow, like around noon, right, on the website?
Yep, somewhere between noon and 1.
GameFixShow.com. Jack, you're from Candair. You have anything going on you want to say?
We don't have anything going on, but yeah, I'm part of the Candair podcast. We talk about movies, video games, TV, and toys.
Spaceballs,
yep. And we have a lot of celebrity guests on that we'd like to talk to here and there.
Cool. Try the TNT ooze. Huh. Maybe I will. This is just something. If you have an Oculus Quest, I guess keep it. And if you don't, get one, because me and Jack were tinkering around in the metaverse and we've got something planned. And it's really cool. And when we're going to talk about it, well, at least I'll talk about it next week with Dave, because it's, I don't know, it's starting to feel okay. I kind of like it. I like it. We sit there in the metaverse and hours just fly by and we're literally doing nothing. Like we're not even playing games.
We're sitting there looking at each other.
Yeah. We're in love.
Oh,
all right. Yeah. All right, everybody. So thank you again. We will be back next week. Dave will be back next week. We'll all be back next week. And yeah, GameFixShow.com.
Oh, shit. Here we go again.
I love you.
Later.
Bye.
Adios, turd nuggets.
Hello, and welcome to Novel Conversations, a podcast about the world's greatest stories. I'm your host, Frank Lavallo, and for each episode of Novel Conversations, I talk to two readers about one book, and together, we summarize the story for you. We introduce you to the characters, we tell you what happens to them, and we read from the book along the way. So if you love hearing a good story, you're in the right place. Our 9th season is coming this fall. Tune in to hear from some of the all-time great authors, Charles Dickens, Jules Verne, F. Scott Fitzgerald, and more. Subscribe to Novel Conversations wherever you listen to podcasts.